You know, we're getting pretty close to Christmas, and every day I go out and I see how commercialized Christmas is, and I just get, you know, this gnawing feeling in my stomach. Why aren't people, you know, giving Christmas what it deserves? But many of us know that Christian isn't the true Christian holiday anyways. My first guest is going to talk about that, and he is going to talk about Obamanation, as well as many other topics that we are going to go over. And I'm going to ask him some questions, and you could call in as well, listener, at 1-800-433-1429. 1-800-433-1429. And there's one other way you could get us, and that is to go to the chat room. Simply go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com, and at the top right-hand corner, it says chat room. You click on it, put a name in a browser, any name that you want, and as soon as you do that, you're, you know, taken to the chat room, and there are already people in there, and so we certainly invite you to come and, you know, give us your ideas. So, and may I also mention to you listeners, and you know I've said this to you before, that it's that time of the year when I need to get a sponsor. So if you'd like to help keep me on the air, please, you know, just let me know. You know, things are getting tough for everybody, so I know money is tight, but it's people like you who keep me on the air, and I appreciate that. All right, my guest for the next 2 hours, and it's always a joy to have him on, is Pastor Fred Coulter. And he says that, I asked him if we were in end times, and he said, yes, but that is a protracted period. And he said, everything that we see happening, from the financial crisis to the downfall of America, are part and parcel of this whole period. So he's going to talk to us about, as I said, the meaning of the Christmas holidays as we celebrate them and what the results are of that. And he will discuss Obama and just about anything you want to talk about. He has several points lined up, and of course I will ask him questions, and I encourage you to call in and ask him questions too. He was ordained as a minister of Jesus Christ in 1965. He served as pastor of several Sabbath-keeping churches of God in the Pacific Northwest, the Mountain States, and the greater Los Angeles area and Monterey, including the central coast of California. He's been in this business for 44 years, his wife Dolores, and he have been married for 43 years, and they have four children. Pastor Coulter says he is on a God-inspired mission to preserve the truth of God for the next generation of the faithful Christians. And according to him, secular, liberal, New Age, satanic forces are fast at work corrupting the fundamental truths of the Bible, and isn't that the truth? And certainly destroying godly morality. Additionally, he says numerous prominent atheists and God-haters in America and the United Kingdom have mounted lying, bitter, never-ending assaults against God, the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Bible, and God-breathed words of God, as well as against any form of Christianity. And I've been complaining about this for so long now that, you know, I want people to get up in arms and fight this anti-Christianity, but, you know, we're such an apathetic society. So call in to offer your opinions and pose your questions and anything that you have, and Pastor will always be kind enough to answer anything you have or comment on what you say. He attended the University of San Francisco and graduated from San Mateo State College before graduating from Ambassador University in Pasadena, California, as a BA in theology, and he was ordained a minister of Jesus Christ in 1965. He pastored churches of God in the Pacific Northwest, Mountain States, and the greater LA area in Monterey, including Central Coast in California. And he completed advanced biblical and ministerial studies in 1972-75 under the Ambassador University's Master Program. And Fred, you're going to have to help me with this word. While completing these studies, his professor of, is it Koine Greek?
Koine.
Koine Greek encouraged him to consider translating the books of the New Testament, and Pastor Coulter resigned from the Worldwide Church of God in the fall of 1979. And after completing his formal instruction in Koine Greek, Mr. Colder continued to expand his knowledge by undertaking, now get this, listener, a verse-by-verse study of the books of the New Testament. And you imagine that, using the Byzantine text. And in the course of his study, he was moved to translate the gospel accounts into clear, more understandable English for contemporary readers. And so he has written several books himself, A Harmony of the Gospels in Modern English, Lord, What Should I Do? It's a book for Christians who are confused and bewildered by the escalating spiritual and doctrinal chaos in Christian churches, and that's a good book, listeners. The Seven General Epistles is designed for in-depth verse-by-verse study of the epistles, and The Christian Passover is a book of about 500 pages that details the scriptural and historical truths of the Passover in both the Old and New Testament, and online studies for the serious Bible students. So he has a lot of background, a lot of experience, and he's written a lot, and he is, you could find his work at www.cbcg.org, www.cbcg.org. Welcome, Pastor Colder.
Thank you, Gianni.
It's always a pleasure to have you.
Well, I'm happy to be on with you. It's a delightful experience every time we're on.
Well, thank you. You know, let's talk about one. Let's go to one thing first I want to talk about, Fred.
Okay.
This is, if I can find this now. This is, where is this? You know, I have all these papers in front of me. This is from two listeners of mine who had written in and asked me about your background.
Yeah.
And one of them was taking issue with the fact that I guess it was that you had a doctrinal belief in salvation without grace. Is that what it was? I'm trying to find this on.
Oh, absolutely not. No one's saved without grace.
Okay, so why don't you tell us a little bit about that background when you were with the Worldwide Church of God to where you are today?
Well, if I could summarize it very quickly.
Yeah, I know it's kind
which
of
is like this: the organization grew very large, became very corrupt at every level, and especially at the higher levels. Plus, there were infiltrators from other religions to bring in strange doctrines, and they help. Those infiltrators helped change the doctrine, use money of the church in ways that it shouldn't have been done, and the political corruption and infighting among the leaders was just really, how shall I say, unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
If you're to have a Christian organization, then it needs to be run on the basis of God's way, God's love, faith in God, and not run on politics and infighting and who's got the most, who's got the least, and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So when it became so corrupt, I resigned, especially keyed on ordination of a man who should never have been ordained at all, let alone ordained an evangelist.
Mm-hmm.
They had a tremendous worldwide outreach. They had an income of $200 million per year. They had 140,000 people attending their various large festivals. And now they're down to about $29 million a year and about 22,000 people who are supposed to be members. But to summarize it very quickly, which is this: God judges his own first. New Testament tells us judgment begins with the house of God. And so, in retrospect, looking back on all of these things, it was obviously God's judgment for sin that was within, where even one evangelist confessed to over 200 affairs with different women in and out of the church, and he was the leading broadcaster at that particular time. And so, since God is no respecter of persons, when those sins reach such high degree of corruption, he judged them. And now they have come, they used to have three colleges, one in Pasadena, one in Big Sandy, Texas, and one in Bricketwood, England. They no longer exist.
Well, I think I found this this one listener I was telling you about what she wrote, and can I read this to you, Fred, so that you can address this?
Yeah.
And this is in regards to one of your translations in the New Testament in its original order, and I'm going to just kind of summarize what you wrote. It says, the book consists of a decent modern English translation of the New Testament, from Greek compilation by Stephanus, plus a lot of commentary on things and how we got our Bible, the doctrines of preservation and biblical inerrancy, plus some long appendices. A nice package, but it is marred by the author's legalism. And then it says, Coulter argues that to avoid sin, we must follow almost all the law of Moses, including dietary law and Sabbath keeping. He acknowledges that the laws of circumcision and animal sacrifices and Levitical priestly laws no longer apply, but wants us following all the rest. My opinion and the dominant opinion of Christianity is that the law of Moses was specifically for the Jews, part of their special covenant, and that Christians are under a new covenant. So the listener sends me this review.
Okay, I can answer that.
Let me go on and see what her point is. And
okay.
She says, these Sabbath-keeping churches will preach grace, but do so in conjunction with Israel's law, thereby rendering grace ineffective. The two cannot be mixed. Paul wrote, quote, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth, unquote, Romans 10:4. And again, quote, and if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if by be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Unquote. Romans 11:16. If you're told you must keep Israel's Sabbath in order to be accepted by God, that's works, not grace. I'm reading what she wrote. These types of legalistic churches never teach eternal security of the believer because there are laws that their members must faithfully keep to the end of their lives in order to procure salvation. Hamster wheel. Rejection of those laws or the church that teaches them means forfeiting salvation. Well, she goes on, but she says, I don't know where Fred Coulter believes her, but British Israelism, but see, her point is that what went on with the Jews was under Mosaic law and doesn't apply to today.
Okay. First of all, she has a typical abolition of law. Matthew 5:17, Jesus said, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. And fulfill means to make them full, to bring them to a higher standard. Grace, and we'll get to that again in just a minute, has to do with justification and forgiveness of sin and being put in right standing with God after you repent of your sins. But when people repent of their sins, they can no longer live in sin because sin is a transgression of the law. So, the Protestants have it all confused. First of all, they know nothing about the commandments of God as apply in the New Testament. Because Jesus said very clearly here in Matthew 5, he says, truly, truly, I tell you, until heaven and earth shall pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no way pass from the law until everything has been fulfilled. Has everything been fulfilled? No. Some things have, but have been replaced with a higher standard, like circumcision of the flesh, the circumcision of the heart, keeping the laws no longer in the letter, but in the spirit. And where most of the Protestants get their false understanding of it is, they do not understand what Paul is writing in the sense that he is writing against Jewish traditional law, not the commandments of God. So Jesus went on here in Matthew 5 to say, therefore, whoever shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men to do so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever shall practice and teach them, this one shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So there's great confusion. Christ did not end law. He is not the minister of law. But what he's talking about there is the end of the law of works for justification at the temple through ritual, not the abolition of law. So let me just read a couple of other scriptures here having to do with law, which are really very, very enlightening, and show that, yes, the commandments and laws of God are to be kept today in the letter of the law by people in the world and in the spirit of the law by those who are Christians, and not run around and cast them away. Now, let me read you just a few verses here. 1 John, New Testament doctrine, the apostle that Jesus loved, he writes, by this standard, we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now, if she says we're not to keep the commandments, and Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man, not the Jews, then she doesn't have a clue as to what she's talking about, nor does she understand the Bible. And that's just Protestant interpretation, which is leading to the demise of Protestantism and the kicking of God out of the Protestant church, because they don't want to keep his commandments. They want to set up their own commandments in place of God's. Are men's commandments better, greater and better than God's? No. So this is quite a thing here. If anyone says, I know him, which this woman is claiming to do, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him.
Well, I think what she's asking, bottom line, is, are we still supposed to be following Mosaic law? Or are we supposed to be...
Well, let's understand one thing. What is referred to as Mosaic law is not Mosaic law. It is God's law given through Moses. Most of what is referred to as the law of Moses in Judaism, and if she has never read the book, the Code of Jewish Law, she doesn't have a clue as to what Paul is writing about. So let me read you something on grace here for just a minute, Ephesians, the second chapter. Now it says, verse 8, for by grace you have been saved, God's free gift of justification and forgiveness of sin and saving from Satan the devil, saving you from your sins through faith. That is belief in Jesus Christ. And this especially is not of yourself, because anything you do of yourself will never justify you or save you. Both the saving and the faith is the gift of God, not of works, so that no man may boast. Now, if we keep God's laws, those are not our works. Those are God's works. If we keep his commandments, those are the works that God has given us to do.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, what I'm trying to, I think, get clear in my head, too. I mean, I read the Bible every day, and I'm still in the Old Testament. This is my third run-through on a Bible.
Okay.
But, I sometimes wonder that the laws that God set out during the Old Testament, I think this is what the bottom line question is. Are we supposed to be following those laws as well as those of Christ, or are we just obligated to follow Christ's laws?
Well, there's actually no difference.
Well, yeah, I know, but I'm saying in the sense of, are we following the Old Testament rules, or are we following the New Testament?
There's no such thing as Old Testament and New Testament. There are ritual laws of the Old Testament which we don't follow.
But there were laws.
But having no other gods before you is through the Old and New Testament.
Right. I should have said, are we following are we supposed to be following the laws that were set out for the Jews?
They were set out for the 12 tribes of Israel, and they were set out for all mankind.
So we are supposed to be following them.
Of course.
So that, then that means that all the things about that they wrote that was required about the meat and about circumcision and about this and that, we're supposed to be following all those today?
Okay. Now, if she would have read a little further, she would have found in the appendix comparison between the Old Covenant and New Covenant, and every major feature of the Old Covenant has been passed into the New Testament with a spiritual application. There's no circumcision of the flesh required, but circumcision of the heart. That's a greater circumcision. There is not commandment keeping in the letter of the law, but in the spirit of the law.
Okay.
Jesus said, if you look upon a woman to lust after her, you've already committed adultery with her already in your heart. So the law is not done away. It's made more binding. It is spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
See? And that's why in the New Testament you need the Spirit of God in order to keep the commandments of God in a spiritual way. Now let me just finish this one part here.
Okay.
It is the gift of God, not of works, that you do, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So obviously not of works, that self-works that you can do. Good works are those works that are motivated by the Holy Spirit, keeping the commandments of God, loving neighbor, loving the brethren, even loving your enemy.
Okay.
Which then it says, good works that God ordained beforehand in order that we might walk in them. Okay.
Right.
Ready for a break?
Man, that went fast, didn't it?
Sure did.
Yeah, we've got a lot of territory here to cover when we come back. And you know, the first thing we're going to cover is end times. Where does Obama fit into this?
Okay.
And so let's hold that. Listeners, don't go far. We're coming right back.
Okay.
Can your family survive a food shortage lasting 2 weeks, 6 months, or maybe longer? Sound far-fetched? We live in precarious times. There is an ever-increasing possibility of food shortages caused by terrorist attacks, natural disasters, truck strikes, or monetary collapse. You owe it to yourself and family to prepare, and you can by getting a supply of our long-storing, freeze-dried, and dehydrated foods. Our foods are time-tested to store for decades, require a minimum of time and energy to prepare while maintaining superior nutritional value, freshness, and taste. Our foods were designed for the space program and are in constant use today by our own nuclear submarine service. Contact the Freeze Dry Guy today at freezedryguy@landsat.com. That's freezedryguy@landsat.com or call 530-265-8333. 530-265-8333 and let them know you heard it on American Voice Radio.
Whether using your cell or cordless phone for business or staying in touch with family, your radiation exposure due to phone use is increasing. Use the Wave Shield, developed for ultimate radiation protection. The Wave Shield blocks, reduces, and deflects up to 97% of the radiation from entering the soft tissue of your ear. The Wave Shield is proven and tested to block radiation without affecting reception. It makes a great Father's Day gift. Order your Wave Shield today for only $25, which includes priority shipping with delivery confirmation. Send $25 today to Frank Steffan, that's Steffan, at 6500 Shadow Glen Drive, Eagle Point, Oregon, 97524. That's Frank Steffan, 6500 Shadow Glen Drive, Eagle Point, Oregon, 97524.
SwissAmerica.com reports gold prices rose near $870 an ounce Wednesday after the Fed slashed rates, pushing the dollar to three-month lows. Gold closed up $9.90 to $867.40. Silver rose 15 cents to $11.36. The trigger for the gold price to rise again could come from a much weaker dollar and a renewed aversion to paper assets as governments and central banks pump large amounts of cash into the economy. More at SwissAmerica.com.
Recession, inflation, market volatility. What do you do to protect your money? Call Swiss America to send you a free education on gold investing. Gold offers you safety, liquidity, and excellent profit potential. Gold is the only asset that's not someone else's liability. The DVD, booklet, and letter are free. The knowledge you'll gain is invaluable.
Call Swiss America toll-free at 800-289-2646. That spells 800-B-U-Y-C-O-I-N. 800-289-2646. 800-B-U-Y-C-O-I-N.
Listeners, we are back for the second half hour of the first hour show, and Pastor Coulter is going to be with us for an hour after that, so we are lucky to have him for the full 2 hours. And right before we went to break, I said to him, when we return, let's talk about end times and where does Obama fit into this. So I guess the best question to start with, Fred, is are we in end times?
Yes, we are. Without a doubt. We are in the end times. That's why we have wars and revolts and riots and terrorist attacks and bombings and famine and plagues and pirates and thieves stealing and looting, extreme weather. By the way, whether the global warming hoax has come to an end because there are no more sunspot activities.
Yeah, well, I always believed it was a hoax, too. But you know,
well, maybe our friend Al Gore will have to seek new employment. Maybe he'll go for global cooling.
I think he ought to give up his Nobel, you know that? Because I don't think he deserved it. You know, the truth of the matter was, it was between him, Fred, and a little old lady. I think she was in maybe Germany. And
really?
Yes, and she had saved, I don't know, 100+ people from the Holocaust. And she had taken her own life and, you know, to save these people, risked her own life. And it was between him and her, and he got it.
Well, she deserved it more than he did because she did something from the heart, and he's done something that for vanity, arrogance, and political expediency to make money and to live one of the most hypocritical lives that anyone could live, trying to tell us what to do and how to cut down on our carbon footprint. And by the way, CO2 is natural, and and so is the methane gas that comes out of cows and out of the ocean. So to try and tax that is absolutely insane. So he just has a political agenda, and that's his thing.
Well, and you know, the thing with that is too is, I believe that Gore, this was Gore's carrot in his payoff, that he did not get the presidency, and so this is how they rewarded him by saying, we will make you famous, and you will write books, and you will get the Nobel Peace Prize. And so he shut his mouth then about the elections.
Yeah, could be. Who knows? So many things are done behind the scenes, you really don't know what's going on.
Yeah. So let's talk about end times. You said, yes, we are definitely in end times.
Definitely in the end times. That's why these things are all taking place. And one of the key things in the end time is leaving God, rejecting God, false Christ, and all of those things. Now, in the political realm, when we get down to nations, I think there is something that we can understand from the Bible when we look at Jeremiah 18, that God judges every nation according to the things that they do that are righteous or sinful, and also that God sets up over the nations the basis of men, Daniel the 4th chapter. And in doing so, we can look around the world and see that whatever a nation does right, they have decent leadership, albeit not completely void of corruption, because human beings are corrupt by nature. But when they have very sinful and corrupt populations, as we are becoming now, then they get very sinful and corrupt politicians who, in many cases, look like that they're wonderful and clean and nice and so forth, but I don't believe that in looking at the events that are taking place right now, realizing that, as my wife Dolores said, when asked the question, who's going to win the election? She said, well, we'll get the one that God says we deserve.
Boy, is she on target with that.
Yeah. So anyway, in my coming letter, I wrote this. As the inauguration of Barack Obama nears, we suddenly find out that the Democrat president-elect's closest advisors and political allies are embroiled in what is perhaps the worst and most sweeping case of political corruption in American history to beset an incoming president. A personal friend of Obama, Democrat Governor Illinois Blagojevich, was arrested by the FBI for corruption and trying to sell Obama's vacant senatorial seat. Mm-hmm. Others are apparently under investigation and may well be indicted, particularly for what is called pay-to-play. So much for the pretense of honesty, transparency, and openness, hypocrisy indeed, and Obama hasn't even been sworn in. So we don't have the hope that we were promised. We do have change, but not what we were promised. And now we've got everything with this economic crisis, so it's going to be something to see what he's going to do. The most ill-equipped, the most ill-informed, the most ill-prepared man coming to be president at the worst possible time in the history of America and the financial problems that face us. And so I think it's true that, yes, we did get the man we deserve.
Some people have ventured, Fred, that he's the Antichrist.
No, he's not the Antichrist. The Antichrist doesn't appear until much later. However, there are many Antichrists in the world, so however that fits with him, he will have to figure that out. But I think it's kind of ironic that during the election, no one could use his middle name Hussein, but he says now he's going to be sworn in with his middle name Hussein, because that's traditional, and it may show solidarity with the Muslims. Well, how about showing solidarity with the American people?
Well, I don't think he cares about that, to be honest with you. I don't think he's even patriotic.
Well, that will remain to be seen.
Well, he's demonstrated many times, and he's been called on for it, that,
yes, indeed.
You know, he doesn't cross his heart when the flag goes up. He doesn't wear the American pin, although somebody did say he has started to wear it. So, you know, that to me makes a question, without a doubt, of patriotism. If you're running for president, the highest office of the country, and you're representing all Americans, why aren't you out there saluting the flag or you know, respecting it?
Sure.
It should be.
Sure. Worse than that, there may be an impending constitutional crisis. Where was Barack Obama born?
Right. And, you know, the Supreme Court, twice, my understanding now, has refused to hear it.
Well, sooner or later, he's going to have to produce a birth certificate, because if he's sworn in, then we have an illegitimate government. The army does not need to obey his commands. They can have a coup on their hands in no time flat.
Well, okay, let's look at this for a minute. The highest court in the country, the Supreme Court, has refused to look at the evidence and to look at the brief that was brought forward by a couple of attorneys. Totally rejected it. Now, if they rejected that, my thinking is they're just going to blow off this whole thing about his birth certificate, allow him to become president. Nobody will question this because, you know, the Supreme Court says you can't bring it into court. They won't try to rehear it. And so the whole thing's going to just blow over.
That's right. But you see, the truth of the matter is this. If the Supreme Court issued a judgment on the issue without a certified copy of Obama's birth certificate, clearly showing that he is a natural-born citizen indeed, such a judgment would be unconstitutional in and of itself. just because the Supreme Court renders a judgment does not make it constitutional unless it conforms to the Constitution, and that's one of the reasons why this nation is corrupt and falling apart. You've got the Supreme Court, you've got the leaders, you've got the Congress, you've got all of the state officials, you have all of the education that it has been palmed off on the children. No one knows God. Just like this woman says, oh, we don't need to keep the commandments of God. Why are we in the trouble that we are in today? Because people don't want to keep law. Mm-hmm. They want to lie. They want to cheat. They want to steal. They want to commit adultery. They want to bear false witness. And they all know those things are wrong. No one wants to have the true God. They want to have their own God, their own version of it. And then they say, oh, well, why are all these things coming upon us? Why is God mad at us?
Well, I don't know if you saw the article that I wrote.
Yeah, I thought it was excellent.
Well, thank you.
I read
listeners,
it.
If you get a chance, go to newsforthews.com/Gianni and look at my latest article. And I wrote the article from the perspective of God has left this country. However, Fred, several people have since written me and said, no, God has not left this country. We have left him. And because we're in the era of dispensation, that he would not leave every individual. But you know what? I go back and I look at Sodom and Gomorrah, and he killed every single person in
there. That's right.
Lot.
Plus the other five surrounding cities that thought, well, since we didn't live in Sodom, we're okay.
Yeah, so I'm saying just because, you know, we believe in him, does that mean that we are protected from his anger?
No, people believe in God, but they don't obey him. And if you believe in him, don't obey him, you're no different than a demon that God has already rejected.
Do you not think that it's people's job to come forward and to stand up for what is right and to stand up for what is biblical?
Yes, people need to do that in their individual lives. They need to do it in their public lives. I recall that last summer when the drought was in Georgia, the governor of Georgia stood up and confessed the sins of the people of the state of Georgia and asked forgiveness and mercy if God would send rain. Now they've got plenty of water.
Hmm.
See, God will hear. But you see, here's what happens. Let me read you these verses here in Hosea, the fourth chapter. Hear the word of the Lord, children of Israel. That applies to anybody. All you have to do is look around the world at any nation, see? And as I've said many times, if you want to know why a nation is in dire trouble, just get your little plaque of the Ten Commandments and put them up there and read those and then watch the news and then find out what are their sins and you'll see why they're suffering from the things that they suffer. See?
Mm-hmm.
The Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth, no mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. Therefore shall the land mourn. Is our land mourning? Yes, with floods, with droughts, with hurricanes, with warm weather, cold weather. It's being assaulted on every side. Out here in California, we have fires. Every time that Governor Schwarzenegger agrees with the homosexual mafia, we have tremendous fires burning down California.
Mm-hmm.
Think he would get the point. Okay, and whoever dwells in it shall languish with the beast of the field, with the birds of heaven, yea, the fish of the sea are also taken away. Oh, they couldn't have any crab fishing or salmon fishing out here on the Pacific coast this year. No fish. Then he says here, he says, verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Our people are being destroyed because of ill health, because of drugs, because of improper medical practices, because of accidents, because of sickness and disease. They're being destroyed by sexually transmitted diseases, and all of those things. They are destroyed. Now notice, here's the reason, because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you, which fits in exactly with what you wrote, Gianni. If you reject God, he rejects you. I feel sorry for that poor woman, says, well, you know, we don't have to keep the commandments of God. Well, you're rejecting God, and in your lawless grace, he's going to reject you. Now, let's go on. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being a priest to me, because you see, Israel, when you go back and read Exodus 19 and verse 5, they were to take the laws and commandments that God gave to Moses to give to the children of Israel. They were to take them to the whole world so the whole world would have the knowledge and commandments of God. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. Has that not happened?
Yes.
Where are our children? Where are the mothers? Where are the fathers? Forgotten, not only that, you add into it abortion, you add into it all of this, how should we say, child cattle farms called daycare centers and so forth like this, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And some woman's going to say, oh, well, I need to work. Granted, you need to work. But that means you need to work harder with your children because you have to work.
So right.
Don't
right.
get yourself in a position where God forgets your children. And it says here, as they were increased, so they sinned against me, and sin is a transgression of the law.
Mm-hmm.
I will change their glory into shame. Is that happening to the United States today?
Well, yeah, but again, you know, the point that these people were making based on my article when I said that, you know, the article points out with the Israelites how many times that they have sinned, and they went back, and they said, please God, they begged with him and repented, and he returned. How many different times that happened until he finally said enough is enough, and he had them all go into exile. And that included, to my understanding, those people maybe who weren't as serious sinners. I mean, you know, when I say, I know a sin is a sin, Fred, but I'm talking about, maybe they did something minor, but was still a sin.
Not so, seriously working in it with both hands and feet.
Yeah, well, okay, I guess my point is that he did that to all of the people. And some of the readers of that article said, no, he wouldn't do that to an entire nation because
he did.
Well, and I said he did do that. And he said, but he would not do that now.
So well, they don't know history. They don't understand what they're talking about because God said that after the destruction of Jerusalem, the Jews would be scattered into all nations and become a hissing and a curse wherever they went. That has happened. Now, Jews don't like to hear that. But I've heard Christian Jewish rabbis write that to Jews. The reason that they are suffering is because they rejected Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
From their own mouth. So, you know, that's not anti-Semitism. That's a historical fact. So, you know, people need to look at things from a biblical point of view and not with their emotions, not with their feelings, not with the propaganda that they have been fed by the government and taught in schools and so forth. They need to get out and understand for themselves. Now, here, let's come to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the fifth chapter. It's really quite a thing here. It says, here's what God would do. He told Jeremiah, he says, now run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem and see now and know and seek in her open places if you can find a man, a single man. Now let's just frame this. If we have a single man in the presidency to lead the nation, we can see some of these things subside. If there is one who does justice, who seeks truth, I will pardon her. The whole thing. See,
right, so does God then lump the serious crimes of people with those people who did not commit serious crime and give them the same punishment? And how would that be fair?
Well, God told him, he gave him a chance. He said, if you surrender to the Babylonians, you will go into exile, and I will prosper you as a low vine. They had a chance. Those who didn't were destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, look at this. Let's just take the thing of truth. And let's ask a question. I want everyone to think. I want everyone to put away their feelings, put away their animosities, put away their combativeness, and just please listen for a minute. Do you think it's right to lie?
Are you asking me?
Everybody.
Well, wait.
Do you think it's right to lie to your husband, to your wife, to your children?
Well, I don't think it's right. But you know what, Fred? There.
All right. Now, the reason that I'm bringing this up is because most people have the same reaction as you. However, let's ask a question. Do you lie to your children about Santa Claus?
Oh, I don't. I mean, my kids.
Okay, well, your kids growing up. And then when they catch you in the lie, you say, well, that's a good lie. Oh, there are good lies and bad lies. Is that true?
But, Fred, let's back up a minute, okay? There are times that you and I know that sometimes is the best way to go. Look, if you got a little old lady who says, do I look beautiful, and she doesn't, there's more damage by saying to her, well, let me tell you what's wrong with you.
Don't have to do that. You can say, you look the very best you can.
I don't think God is going to punish us from,
Okay, maybe not for that, but let's take this with Christmas. Everything about Christmas is not true. Yet everybody's out participating in it. And all the merchandising, like you mentioned, where's that in the Bible?
Yeah.
See, people think Christmas means the birth of Christ, but it doesn't.
Well, let's talk about that, because I know you know about holidays. I've had you on for that before, so...
Sure.
Let's talk about Christmas and being the quote-unquote Christ's birthday, which you and I know differently, but go ahead.
Yeah, well, it's not. There is a perfect description of the Christmas tree in Jeremiah, the 10th chapter, where God says, thus says the Lord, do not learn the way of the heathen. Do not be terrified at the signs of heaven. And how many people follow astrology, okay? It's in the paper every day, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
For the nations are terrified at that.
I don't read it, but yeah, okay.
Okay, well, what I'm saying is a lot of people who don't think they are sinners are really sinners in some degree or another, more than they've ever thought, because they don't know their Bibles.
Absolutely.
Okay. For the customs of the people are vain, for one cuts a tree out of the forest with an axe. Where do Christmas trees come from? The work of the hands of the workmen. They adorn it with silver and gold. They fasten it with nails and hammers so that it will not move. They are like a skeleton of cucumbers but cannot speak. They must surely be carried because they cannot walk. So, perfect description of it. God says, don't do it. Furthermore, Christmas does not honor Christ, it honors a pagan god, Bacchus, and Saturn. And that's why I have the book, Occult Holidays, or God's Holy Days, which goes into every one of them, Halloween, Christmas, and we've updated it. The second edition, by the way, not only covers all the pagan holidays and God's holy days, but I have in there a brand new appendix, Understanding Paul's Difficult Scriptures Concerning the Law and Commandments of God, which will answer in detail, more specifically, the question of the woman that you read starting out at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all there, and everyone can get one free. Just go on to our website, cbcg.org, and we have book order right there, right up front, close to the homepage.
Okay, so Christmas is not a Christian holiday, but Fred, do you have kids?
Crowing the gut.
When they were little, did you celebrate Christmas? Did you put up a Christmas tree for them when they were little? And
No.
So you have no Christmas tree in your house?
No. Never have. People say, oh.
Well, how do you handle that then when they were younger? I know now.
We tell them the truth. And we get them gifts as they need them through the year. And it saves going into debt to buy all the things that they want or lust for, if we could put it that way, because children have lust. Mm-hmm. And give it to them on Christmas. Lie and say there's a Santa Claus and all that sort of thing. I remember when I was about 5 years old, five and a half, six, somewhere around there, went out, was playing with the boys then. Yeah, there's no Santa Claus. I said, yes, there is. There's a Santa Claus. And I ran home, ran up the steps, the back steps, and came to the kitchen. And I said, Mommy, is there a Santa Claus? She said, why, of course. So I ran back downstairs and said, my mommy says there is a Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
Well, about 2 weeks later, I was looking around in the house, and lo and behold, in the closet was something that was a Christmas present that I wanted to have, which we went to the, you know, to Santa Claus down at the local department store. It wasn't up at the North Pole. He was right there. And I found it.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to my mom and said, what are these? And she says, those are Christmas gifts. She said, well, I have to tell you, there is no Santa Claus. I said, isn't that lying? She said, yes. See, because every time I lied, I got punished.
Yeah, of course, that's how that goes.
Yeah.
You know that, Fred.
So she said, well, it's a white lie.
Yes.
See?
Yes.
So now what? What have you indoctrinated your children to do and given them permission to do because of you? You have taught them that lying is good.
Mm-hmm.
See? So, now then you look at that. If people lie and they cheat and they steal, where does it lead to? Adultery, fornication, drug addiction. And look at all the things that we have that are taking this country down, which cost billions and billions and billions of dollars because people are out there sinning.
Yep. Yep, I mean, I agree with you, but I'm just wondering, you know, how you handle that. And do you think that people today who celebrate Christmas, but they also are Christians?
No, they're not Christians.
Well?
No, they profess Christianity and profess a worldly Christianity not found in the Bible.
All right, we're going to take a break, Fred. We've got
okay.
A great spot here. So, listeners, we're coming right back. Don't go far.